You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Dr. Suan Barrett is in studio with me this morning as we look for the quest for gender justice. And over the weekend, like I said, we celebrated International Women's Day, where we play a specific look on women. And we talked about health, we talked about where progress is in terms of women's development and understanding the role of women. So welcome once again to Freedom 106.5 FM, Dr. Barrett. How are you?
Thank you. I am. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And good morning. Good to be here again talking with you, Tosca. Mm-hmm. I'm good. It's a great time to commemorate and celebrate, even as we're in a reflective mood, mm-hmm. because of where we are in the world. It's always good to celebrate and commemorate being a woman, mm-hmm. and all the women and girls around us.
I thought you was going to say, well, after Carnival, and we have calm down.
Oh, my God.
Because they do say that Carnival is woman. But that's another aspect of it. Looking at some of the topics that was, touched on just yesterday, because Freedom was at Achievers Hall, and mm-hmm. we broadcasted the Healthy Mind Foundation women's event, and a lot of discussion focused on health and some of the issues that I would believe are now beginning to present itself as serious because of statistics and the way that women have been clamoring for more information and more research on these things. Do you think for the year 2026, I believe their theme was to give to get back?
Give to gain.
Yes. Right. Wood Association.
Yes.
So that was the theme. Do you think that we're on track for that theme, or we need to dive deeper?
Well, in fact, as you were recalling it, give to get back, mm-hmm. I have some reservations with that theme, mm. because if it is taken as reciprocity, where we invest and then we get a return on investment, it's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. Because the investments are there, but within our own space, our own country, and like other parts of the world, it's not as consistent or as deep or as it can be. So you may have an initial investment, but that over time kind of investment that you need, either we don't have the resources, mm. or we shift it to something else. So it remains a work in progress where we constantly have to advocate for and lobby for continuous investment, sustained investment. Mm-hmm. We try it through building scalability. We try it through having commitment and buy-in, but interests change over time and so forth. Now, why do I have a reservation about that theme? And I'm more in favor of the UN Women's theme, which is Rights, Justice, Action for All, mm. is that on the other side of reciprocity is transactionalism, transactional relationships, obligatory returns, and that obligation tends to rest in the hands or in the laps of women and girls. Mm. And so because of the relationship traditions and practices and rituals that women get themselves in, we have to be careful of the language we use to tell our stories, mm. because it can easily be switched from its initial intent and become something else. I'll give you something, I'll give you a nice house, I'll give you a nice car, I'll give you whatever, but you must sacrifice your personhood for me.
Mm-hmm. And dreams, hopes, aspirations.
Your dream, exactly, that your life is in service of others. Now, a lot of people do it out of love. They give that, but then the gains don't measure up,
inequities and inequalities.
So on the face of it, yes, give to gain is great. We remain kind of a development, mm-hmm. But we really just want recognition of that which you give to in order to gain mutually beneficial effects.
From that relationship, what should we provide for better understanding and communication? Because you stepped on some good points in that the roles of women sometimes are leveraged for the gain part. Mm-hmm. What should we be doing to make sure that communication is clear?
Well, I think you have to go from big to small. So you started off saying that a big thrust yesterday was around health. Mm-hmm. And I want to use that as the example. So the big point I'm going to make is, you have to recognize women for their ways of being, feminine ways of being, their roles in society, their individuality, their functionality in our lives, their value, without always calling calling it a question, let's take it to health. So health, for example, in Trinidad and Tobago, we have health for everyone. Everyone needs health. But there's always this struggle to understand women's health concerns. Mm-hmm. Women's health concerns, especially around reproductive health, women's health concerns around mental health, around exhaustion, around the things that influence them, because we perform invisible labor, unpaid labor, along with our productive labor. You came to work today. I'm sure you have another shift, many shifts in your own personal life. And
many job descriptions.
Exactly. And so as we do our health policy and we have our health services, we spend some time trying to figure out, I mean, even something such as, you know, the premenstrual experience, people started to take it as guaranteed because they can simulate it on a man's body. And women have been like, but I'm telling you this so long.
How long have I been trying to describe this very same thing that
you go through every single day, the complications, as we have an aging population, both of men and women, of perimenopausal and menopausal systems into aging. Mm-hmm. Even in terms of developmental disorders with children and young adults, some of the descriptions do not account for how girls may experience things like autism spectrum disorder and other issues that we then have to create policies around education mm-hmm. and health and social programs. Mental health is a huge one. Mm-hmm. And the conditions around depression and passive or active suicidal ideation exist for all people, women, men, gender non-conforming people. But the triggers in our society that women confront and then are encouraged to bear too, to be virtuous and strong.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, you bear it through and then we go into, well, we'll give you all you need. What more could you want? Mm-hmm. So we have to really consider that to invest, we have to recognize women's whole value. And then in each sector, understand that the nuance is not some sort of anomaly. It is that you have half of your population who live lives through their perspective and their experiences. And that way we can communicate better.
Advocacy is one of the things that was spoken about yesterday. How strong should advocacy be, especially now in a time of global conflict? And the role of women, once again, to take on that unspoken labor of making sure that we are the nurses, we are the doctors, we are the people who look after the children, while the men step out of the house once again to go and fight that battle. Mm-hmm. What should be the conversations
Advocacy
be like?
Advocacy must be relentless. Mm-hmm. Because you see, in these times of conflict, not only are we confronting armed conflicts close to home and mm-hmm. far away from, mm-hmm. and also close to home, not only in terms of geography, but in terms of ideological shifts and confrontations, whether it is political systems, ideological systems, religious systems, these things are infused in our psyche. We are being caught up in it, mm-hmm. whether we choose to or not. But advocacy has to be relentless, because those who are asserting an agenda that's not in the interest of equity, equality, cohesion, mm-hmm. which is what women maintain. So we maintain these communities that you talk about, but we work very hard for peace, security, and cohesion for the next generation. Mm-hmm. As can be seen globally, women work to preserve the next generation because we see it as compulsory. We're responsible for nurturing mm-hmm. and building our societies that is charged upon us, whether mm-hmm. we do it well or not. Not all of us are naturally, you know, led to be there, but that's our responsibility. So the messaging and the misinformation and all of that that takes us far in extremes, mm-hmm. that attempts to disrupt and overturn those gains that we've got, our advocacy for women and girls, and by extension for allied men and boys, must be relentless. Mm-hmm. We cannot give up, because it is very easy to lose. And some loss has already occurred. Quite close, not in extreme societies, not in extreme cases, but in societies close to us where such was taken for granted for a very long time. Mm-hmm. For an example, sexual and reproductive health and rights, mm-hmm. right? And so I think unless we commit to that, we can find things, slippages, and we don't realize it's gone until it's actually gone. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would say, relentless advocacy.
Especially when you're thinking about, just to go back to another keynote that was spoken of, in terms of looking at pregnancy, delivery of children, because that is another part of the role of a woman to continue the species.
Yes.
You know, in just a nutshell. And one of the points that was brought up there, unfortunately, there was a doctor who was an advocate for Black women's health as it pertains to pregnancy, because that group had the most or highest mortality rate when it came to that. And she, unfortunately, while having her own baby, she passed. And her name, I can't recall. And the whole stepping into that space to first be recognized that this is an issue. It happens in all women, yes, but there is a higher occurrence in women of color. Yeah. To have that fund or monies to go into that research to develop, if it's protocols, if it's types of medication to ensure that the numbers are dwindling, that seems to be a very difficult conversation for men to have. Yes. And understanding that the research is more geared towards men, white men, males, and the way those things present in their bodies rather than how it looks to us. How yes. do we get the equality and equity that your article speaks of? We'll get to that in a yes. minute, but how do we begin that conversation?
Well, we need to stop having the feminine as taboo. So, and of course, yes, women of color, infant mortality rates, maternal mortality, and other complications are higher. Mm-hmm. And that is a very complicated intersectional thing. Eh? Mm-hmm. It has to do with race, ethnicity, class, region, and so much more. Mm-hmm. And unless we are willing to confront those hard conversations around discrimination, colonial inheritance around Black women and brown women and other women of color, then it's going to continue subtly happening. Mm-hmm. People deny it. Oh, no, it doesn't take place until yeah. women start to tell their stories.
Yeah.
The second thing is there are a number of health conditions that occur, and I think I saw it on social media. It's good to see that the conversation is happening, but it is in the minority, where there were some health professionals telling women how to take care of yourself and calling on men to join us in taking care of themselves around mm-hmm. hygiene and cleanliness and getting checked up and stuff. Because some of the conditions that women may experience, bacterial vaginosis, HPV, yeast, and I'm not even entering into sexually transmitted diseases, mm-hmm. which everybody understands are shared, but even before we get there, comes from, let's say, unhealthy sexual relations. And this is, of course, how clean you are, what your practices are, mm-hmm. what is your pH, and so forth. So women find themselves affected, their flora and fauna, you know, all mm-hmm. the necessary health. But we don't want to have those conversations because either it becomes disruptive or too taboo. I mean, mm-hmm. let's go back to the rose, and I'm not going to say too much, where just to understand that perspective is a huge taboo. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. People are having a stressful moment. So for us to de-stress, because mm-hmm. the idea of women's pleasure on their own, without their relations with a man in that case, or just women's health, mm-hmm. because we criticize women and say, ooh, she's dirty, she smells. Women need to be washed clean with much soap, mm-hmm. and they do unhealthy practices. Again, some of this comes from their relations with others, and we don't understand the health. Now, mm-hmm. the health personnel, the responders in that space, the scientists have been doing a lot of work to understand how do we address this. So mm-hmm. we have to give them credit for that. That's the gains that have occurred. But the way it reaches into society, into treatment, into judgments, that remains a work in progress. So let's stop. Women are not taboo. Femininity is not taboo. Women's concerns are not taboo. Women's practices. Let us stop seeing it as some sort of other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are here. And if you want to hear, you just have to ask us a question. We'll tell you all the information. We're not hiding anything. We'll be like, let me tell you. You know, you go to them and you say, Tosca.
Mm-hmm.
So is this how it is? You know, let me just tell you mm-hmm. what's the truth. And if we have those open conversations, I think we'll have some more mutual understanding. And mm-hmm. realize, guess what? If you have a healthy woman, not only do you have a healthy workforce, you have healthy people who mm-hmm. enter into that workforce, be they young, old, or middle age.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a yield for you to preserve women's health and well-being.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about women and the international space, diplomacy, and all of that right after this. Stay tuned.
doesn't happen by chance. Like an artist, the cook selects the main ingredient. One that is worthy of a proud cultural tradition. Trusted to enhance your creations with its richness and versatility. To create a cooking masterpiece, the secret is simple. The brand we know, the brand we trust, the brand our ancestors have been using for generations. There is only one pure cow brand ghee. Look for the marks of authenticity.
Republic Wealth Management knows we all have different stories and want to succeed.
All you need is Republic Wealth. What is your story? Dreams of glory, a future that's set. Sturdy wealth, you bet. Let's get it together. We'll take you further. All you need is Republic Wealth.
Republic Wealth Management Limited, simple investment solutions. Expert-led, over 80 years experience. What's your story? Let's talk today.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back, TNT 927 in the nation's capital. And if you're just joining us here at Freedom 106.5 FM, you are smack dab in the middle of a very interesting conversation post-International Women's Day. And I have Dr. Barrett with me, Dr. Suan Barrett, talking Hi. About the role of women and how we've evolved, what should be on the table to continue conversations as it pertains to women. And, well, if you missed out the last 2-3 minutes of it, we did mention the rose.
Yes.
And the uproar that it caused. And I felt that what we were discussing off air should also be said on air, because you brought up some very valid points.
Yes, and I'll tie it back to what I did say on air, which is women being taboo. Women's everything feminine and of womanhood and girlhood remains in this segment of taboo. And the rose is a perfect example. So there was a lot of uproar and people were moralizing it and talking about, oh my God, carnival has lost its carnival. And
we're heading to hedonism.
Yes, and oh my gosh, carnival has always been about transgression and always been about sexuality. But a big part of something that we don't confront, which is to answer your question, how do we talk about it, is that with the public acknowledgement of women's attending to their own pleasure, which is what the rose is, a pleasure device, solo pleasure device, it signals to men that, one, they're not quite attending to that pleasure significantly, or that maybe they're utility is not as prime as it needs to be. It's not as front and center. So I would have heard some guys say, oh my gosh, I don't have batteries like that, you know. How are I keeping up?
Because within the response of it, it went from, you know, immortal yes. sin and yes. going to hell and, yes. and all of that to insecurity, like you just brought yes. up there, and men being very apprehensive with this particular item that has been around for however long,
yes.
right? And it introduced a type of conversation where they had to confront their own feelings
yes.
on women's sexuality and the way in which we express that, because it even went into the look of carnival and what you see. But for me, outside of carnival, you see dress like that as well.
Of course.
On the beach, you know.
All the time. In addition,
different expressions.
We didn't have this imagination that I could actually use the rose with the person. I could actually enter into the pleasure game. It could be a mutually beneficial. That's where we get to a conversation of equity, equality, and togetherness, yeah. right? Cohesiveness. Why do you think you're just simply excluded?
Why did you right? exclude yourself to
exactly.
begin with?
Exactly. So it's very strange, but we have to be empathetic, because the notion that, oh my God, we could actually bond in this way is the ultimate taboo, which is what I was addressing before. In so many ways, just even when we talk about women's work and the fact that we have to go to work, we have to go home, we might have to run away a little early because this is our responsibility, and what does this mean for productivity and so forth? These things remain buried or invisibilized or taboo. Just like, well, if it is you using the rose, I could be a coach. I could try out a little something. We could have a little fun together. It's not a loss if you have that gain. This kind of zero-sum belief.
Yeah.
We know that the religious will always have their views about sexuality, and so we respect the religious perspective. That's different from the mainstream. You understand? And I think we then have to confront our own insecurities as men, as women, and as everyone in society.
And not to be afraid of having the conversation, because, you know, either you make boundaries,
yes,
or you explore.
Oh, you explore together. And you have those the taboos around desire and pleasure. We're willing to talk about sex and sexuality in terms of health, mm-hmm, and functionality. But what we really don't talk about is desire and pleasure and how we deal with that. Mm-hmm. And so we make a lot of mistakes and we elide consent and we elide what is really sexy, which, by the way, is one of the major things. Each time IWD comes up, it's a commemoration, which is violence. Mm-hmm. In all its forms, gender-based violence being a lot, being sexual violence for women and girls, because the ever-present power of taboos prevent us from having the talks.
Yeah.
And then we make mistakes, we use wrong messaging, and so we harm each other, and sometimes it's not intentional. Mm-hmm. I teach a course called Sex, Gender, and Society, and I've had students come in class and say, Miss, you know, I realize I did this thing, you know. I realize I didn't know I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, now you know better. But they didn't intend to commit, you know, encroach on someone else's will or take something without asking. Mm-hmm. But the practices didn't embed mutual respect and engagement and mutual pleasure. And it's only in class they're like, oh my God, I just realized I never even determined what she wanted. Mm-hmm. I never determined what I wanted. Right?
And is it that from your conversations and, as you said, classes, mm-hmm, and so on, would that be like the genesis that leads to gender violence and restrictions?
It can be. Yeah. So some of it would be our belief systems, what we reinforce as norm, mm-hmm, but some of it is what we leave unaddressed. The things that we say, let's not have that conversation. We talk about women, but the biggest issue we have is that older women rarely talk to younger women.
Oh.
And we need intergenerational, mm-hmm, conversations, because all the lessons that our elders have learned. Similarly with men, older men don't talk to younger men. Mm-hmm. All the lessons that would have been learned should be taught, should be passed on. And by the way, we as post-colonial subjects, that is our culture, our practice, be we of African descent or Indian descent and so many other ethnic groups, mm-hmm, that we would pass things down by word of mouth through conversations. But the taboos that have been implanted, I would suggest historically through colonization, right, we've moved away from those conversations. You always have that saucy one, that saucy auntie, ready uncle, who would come and tell you a little something. Tosca, come, let me tell you something, eh? Mm-hmm. Don't tell anybody, I tell you this. But we need to have those conversations across generations, mm-hmm, so that we could learn the lessons of the past and learn the things that people have come to understand with age and experience. And we try to have the intergeneration, but it's awkward. Yeah. Because respect, yeah, and hierarchy
and taboo
come into play. But I think for women in particular, is when you have an experience and an elder will come and say, let me tell you something, eh? This is something I could have told you about. And you're like, well, why didn't you tell me before?
Yeah.
Right? So that's something. And it extends in all. It extends to the personal. It extends to the workplace. It extends to leadership. I know you wanted to touch there. But as we mentor, mm-hmm, people into that, mm-hmm, into our complex social and political systems, you have those with experience who need to talk with those who are new. Mm-hmm. And those who are new should be allowed to give ideas in terms of their innovation.
And have that space that is respectful enough, yes, to understand this is more exploration and trying,
exactly,
to figure out how do we mesh things that are modern,
yes,
things that are established, so that future could be a good mix of everything.
Yes.
Now, that transition was a pretty good one in touching on that. I know I want to get to how to describe this and still be neutral. Uh-huh. I think we just have to say it. Now,
yes,
over the weekend, with the celebration of International Women's Day, the presentation by President Donald Trump as it regards to our prime minister and the name play, mm-hmm, on another very prominent female figure, also of Asian descent. Mm-hmm. Names are very similar, probably it's just one syllable. And I saw that, quite surprising to me, was two sets of reactions to what we saw, mm-hmm, on this clip. And some would say that, you know, the president took the time to understand her name and to pronounce it. I saw it a little different, and there were a few others that felt that way. In terms of equity and equality, how can we view that interaction, still understand what geopolitics is and the role of a woman?
Yes, and you know what is very important that we have to say? Several years ago, I was still a student. We did some work with one of my professors on developing strategies for non-sexist language. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues that happen is something called Clayton sexism, where you point out things to try to be opposite of it, but it is obvious that you're playing with it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, our prime minister has been working with the United States for quite some time. Our prime minister is not the first time being prime minister, mm-hmm. and the name is simple to say. Now, of course, the person who is saying it has demonstrated some challenges with pronunciation for multiple words, so mm-hmm. we have to take that into consideration, right? But
you're giving him a blank. Okay.
Give it up, like. But outside of that, in light of what is politics and the politics of the person, identity politics, of course, the politics of the particular president as well, to have one woman, a woman leader in your space, whatever you agree or disagree with the politics, you have advisors who could say, the name is Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, our friend likes to play a little doddering, and he does that as part of his presentation of his popular self. Mm-hmm. So that could be what it is. But it aligning it with what was his contender, his competition, mm-hmm. it kind of brought in, it hailed into that conversation a level of politics that we're confronting the hard to understand. Mm-hmm. We're confronting, again, the taboo, the out of the ordinary, the outsider, even though our leader is within that space. Mm-hmm. So she's an outsider within, which can have the effect of putting you in a place. Mm-hmm. Putting you in a position, positioning you without positioning you, obviously. So we have to be careful. On the face of it, we might say, okay, it's been some time. We have a little laughing moment. It's innocuous. But on the other hand, we have to consider how our own leader was located. One woman in a space of essentially a particular political ideological trend in mm-hmm. the room, and how that location situates one politically
mm-hmm.
and situates one as a woman from a global South country, and a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
And those things we have to think big picture, because it then says to us, as we situate ourselves, as we attempt to negotiate in these global spaces, we must never put aside power relations. Mm-hmm. We must never put aside gendered relations of power, which I'm sure our own leader confronts on a daily basis
yeah.
and tries to make sense of it as best as, whether successful or not, it's up to you to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But that's there. So I kind of agree with you on all ends. I'm saying, okay, fine. Yes, we know Mr. Trump mm-hmm. has a tendency to have difficulty with words. And so he might really be making sense of it and reasoning it out on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, structurally, you have invited a leader from the Caribbean. There have been tensions and confrontations, and you have had confrontations with the other administration. You need to think before you
speak,
say
yeah.
yes, indeed.
Yeah, because in some sectors it just came across as you're here, but you know.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's exactly. So yeah. Do you really have a seat at the table?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's mm-hmm. where it's not directly sexist. By the way, this is a good example at the highest level of what women confront. Earlier I said women confront violence.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not quite where we need to be in terms of equity, equality, and justice. But we also confront this kind of, you belong, but you don't belong. You have a job in that space. You're part of all of these things. You've got all of the education, but you still confront these kinds of mires
mm-hmm.
around your identity, your functionality, your role, and your significance.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really one of us, but we have to let you in.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't want that to happen, because whatever we may think of the actual politics at play, we must consider that the persons who perform the roles must be respected wholly.
The thing is, how, in terms of women's issues, and which correlates and directly affects children's issues, mm-hmm. how do we navigate through those spaces to make sure that the infrastructure, funding, programs, all the things that are necessary to build the idea of equity and gender equality, to move away from gender violence and create that space for healthy communication. Where do we begin seeing what we have to work with?
It's a complicated question, and we've been trying a lot of strategies, but I'll use an example of some work we want to do with Childline in April. They're launching, on April 9th, I believe, they are launching a report where they looked at some of the problems encountering children. Mm-hmm. And one of the major ones is around psychosocial health and well-being. Yes, psychosocial health and well-being. And the next week, we're trying to have an intervention that we develop the power of the village. The village can. And this came from an observation during the Calypso Fiesta Festival. We saw that there was one Calypsonian who says the village can't. And it was an interesting social commentary mm-hmm. about how the village is falling apart, essentially, right? I don't know the words of the song, but it was there.
Yeah.
And then we said, but you know, the village exists on online platforms, on WhatsApp groups, on some in community and workplaces and spaces and so forth. Because just as how psychosocial well-being is undermined for kids, it's being undermined for young adults, for parents, for caregivers and guardians. So for that intervention, the entry point is, where do all of us find ourselves confronted? Mm-hmm. And so the infrastructure will address the, what we say, across the life course. And I would suggest that's it, a multi-sectorial approach, where I'm like, I'm going to address women, but whatever I do to address women will again address men and boys. Mm-hmm. Children, the elderly, so that we find ourselves confronted around, let's say, infrastructure for safety or job opportunities and education mm-hmm. or whatever it be. And so we enter it in that way. Our limited resources then gets fanned out in a way that's functional to most people. Of course, there will always be those moments where you have to pinpoint a particular target.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that. Such as reproductive health, sexual safety, these kinds of things. But just as how we saw within our society, psychosocial well-being is really a challenge because we don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You will pray hard and you'll get over it. But we're not getting over it, and we're seeing it in the young, and then we see it in the UE space with the adults. We see it in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, that person weird, you know, that person must in need. I don't know what's going on with
them. Was it that the exercise of saying things like that to downpress mm-hmm. and ignore the issue that has caused it to become
yes.
as great as it is?
Yeah, because people don't want to engage in healthy, health-seeking behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that, not only to encourage children to do it, but to encourage adults. When you mm-hmm. feel overwhelmed and stressed, I mean, if your influencer is a religious leader,
mm-hmm.
yes, go right ahead. But mm-hmm. if not, seek the help of professionals so that you can go through it and not put it aside and then it end in crisis.
Let's take some calls. 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fast Track.
How are you? Well, I have a good excuse for not locking in earlier.
Well,
I was a court matter this morning, so
you
can take off your phone while you're waiting. The matter postponed, sir, back out, sir, yeah. A little smaller traffic, nothing, you know, me again, okay, no.
I love your trouble. Updates on a morning Fast Track, but do you have a question for Dr. Barrett?
You're dealing with what topic you're dealing with?
Fast Track, call me back. 625-2257, 627-3223. Like, the Fast Track is literally crawl out of bed or whatever space he's in and then say, so what's the topic today? So he wasn't listening, Fast Track.
Clearly.
He wasn't listening. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. So let's get back to understanding where we are at.
Yes.
What is necessary to build that bridge between not only the genders, but the present to establishing a good foundation for the future. Because we have to put into practice the things that we want to see. And key factors or key things that we should pay attention to now, entering into the next phase, what that should be.
Okay, first things, just as how I told you, we had the gift again, but we have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be careful about the language we use to describe ourselves and to tell our stories. We have to take a moment. We are very good at expressing ourselves through words in Trinidad and Tobago, be it in terms of our calypso, our soca, our raps, or spoken word, or poetry. We are talented beyond belief. Mm-hmm. I think that we should pat ourselves on the back. But as we use those words, we use them creatively, but we use them consciously as well to know sometimes we tell our stories that undermine the things we're trying to speak against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all agree, even if we are not all feminist or we're not all into gender justice,
mm-hmm.
yes, you know, the mm-hmm. words might offend, mm-hmm. but in fact, we all share this kind of entry point. We do want a cohesive society that's peaceful,
mm-hmm.
less violence, less crime and violence, and less violence against our most vulnerable people, our children, our women,
elderly.
Our elderly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And are differently abled. Secondly, we have to recognize women as whole people, cut it with the taboos, and appreciate that women are who they are, different from men and boys,
mm-hmm.
but human like men and boys. So we are different, but we're not from different worlds. We're not from different planets. We have different realities and experiences that have consequences.
That book had a lot to do with that, too.
Yeah, no, oh. Men are from Mars and women from Venus is rubbish. No, we are all from Earth,
right.
As far as we are aware. Though we live different experiences. And we're not, by the way, if you have little kids and you remember when they were their smallest, they don't perceive that difference immediately. They think mm-hmm. all are the same. They compare everybody to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Until they go to school and socialize, they're like, oh, there's these others called girls or these others called boys.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really of the same species, yes, but we need to recognize that we have different perspectives and mm-hmm. these must be appreciated, celebrated, and confronted.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing I think is consistency. As we speak of it, IWD will come back every year,
mm-hmm.
but we have to think in that way throughout the year. We have to think that, okay, we must recognize the wholeness of all of our peoples. And we mustn't be afraid to do so because we think we'll lose salvation or we will lose some kind of props.
Mm-hmm.
If we recognize...
the space in heaven.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If we recognize women and girls, men and boys, gender non-conforming people, and all those who don't fit any labels, it doesn't take away from you and your own values.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing diversity in our space does not erase your uniqueness. In fact, it foregrounds it even further. And that's a logic I know sometimes people have a challenge because they want, where's the line? I want mm-hmm. to be clear. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there are no lines. They are all mysterious and imagined, right? and we concretize it because we want salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But our very dogma teaches us to have that sort of perspective. The fourth thing is that in terms of the state speaking to the very legislation and policy that we've worked so hard and we have in place in Trinidad,
mm-hmm.
our state then needs to commit itself to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we budget every year, as we visit, you know, right now we're having conversations at the Institute around gender responsive budgeting, around policies that we have in place and want to make sure that they have teeth and they are clearly implemented in our society. It mustn't be
with
one champion. With
consequences.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As we were saying on Saturday with the network of NGOs, justice delayed is justice denied.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we've got it. You know, we could stand up proudly and say, I've got this in place. But if it's not implemented and reinforced, then it has no effect, right? It's just sitting there. So we must then not have one champion in a ministry who has to do all the work, or three champions who experience burnout and stress and lack of resources and then misunderstood. Even when we speak of media as the mainstream influencers, we say the media needs to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But the media also has to respond to the demands of storytelling, of journalism, of time frame, of money, of mm-hmm. all of these things.
Of neutrality as
of
well.
Of neutrality, yes.
Yeah.
You have a job that's a profession that needs to be done. So
mm-hmm.
that commitment that we rest in the things we've signed to, these need to be enforced and reinforced because I think we kind of drop in the ball there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I would say, let's talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We find it hard to sit with each other outside of just the play. We're good, I always say. Trainees can form a lime in a party anywhere.
Yeah.
But when it comes to deep, uncomfortable conversations, we prefer to express it indirectly or through double entendre in art
mm-hmm.
rather than actually sit and say, let's have a serious, uncomfortable conversation
mm-hmm.
that keeps us where we are. And then we are up in arms. So, for example, right now we are really, what are we going to do about crime? What are we going to do about crime? Mm-hmm. Crime is not going to stop until we look at, again, the underlying causes that breed its continuity, mm-hmm. and that we speak back to power, because we might be tackling the pawns who participate in crime, but we're not dealing with the big pieces on the board, mm-hmm. which then, of course, doesn't dismantle the structure. So that's a lot I just said there.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. One more thing I wanted to touch on. The idea that advocating for women's issues, women's rights, the opportunity to choose and so on, has a very tight correlation to feminism.
Yes.
And toxic femininity and this kind of thing. Can we, for once and for all, kind of establish what feminism is, yes. what toxic femininity looks like? Because yes. in trying to research this thing about toxic femininity, to me it sounds like the male perspective being very bitter about women who have confidence. Women, yes. and so like you said, very careful of the language that you use that can turn around and be language for something that was not intended.
Yes. Yeah. First of all, before I say what feminism, let me clarify. Toxic femininity is a backlash point. Mm-hmm. It's a backlash because we had toxic masculinity. And so we're like, we're going to throw it on its head and say some women are just bad behave and mean and whatever. And we'll call it the same way, which is not what toxic masculinity masculinity is. Mm-hmm. By the way, toxic masculinity affects men's lives as much as it affects women. Mm-hmm. It is those masculine standards that says men must be this and nothing more, mm-hmm. and that they must be rooted in practices that undermine their own capacity for agency and freedom and self-determination as much as it is for women, agency and freedom. Toxic femininity is not bad behavior, girls. Mm-hmm. Feminism is a political commitment to recognize that women are people too. Mm-hmm. Everything that we've been saying all morning says there are these tendencies where we fail to recognize women as whole people. Mm-hmm. We don't mind. We like to say, you know, women are there. We see their bodies present. But the fact that we really have to confront them as whole, valid human beings is a work in progress. Feminism takes many forms, of course, because there are many perspectives, because there are many different kind of women. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people get confused because some people are louder than others. And people are loud because the issues that draw someone to this commitment is very personal, usually rests in you have experienced trauma, you have observed inequalities, and those are not pleasant, right? Mm-hmm. Inequalities, inequities, and injustice doesn't leave you with a good taste in your mouth. But it simply is that commitment to say, we experience a degree of subordination. Some people experience more privilege than others. Mm-hmm. And so we must recognize how we can confront that. And women who have been feminists have always been feminists accounting for men. Mm-hmm. Because from the very early stages, women are feminists while being married, while being mothers, while having sons, while mm-hmm. having dads. So we live these relational lives. People don't like the word because it disrupts the status quo. Mm-hmm. It disrupts the arrangements that we take for granted that allow people to have power over one and not the other. And that is why people are like, oh my God, these feminists.
But yeah, why are y'all making so much noise?
Yeah, oh, they're giving trouble. But really and truly, that's the only way that we could really have an IWD year where we could all wear purple with its gangster qualities, according to that reggae song, Gangster is Purple, and really celebrate our cohesion as people in society.
Let's take a couple of calls. 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good morning. Good morning.
I want to suggest that the knowledge is the doctor's part in there. If she could just get the young ladies in school, so by the time they step out, they'll have an idea what is expected of them, and thereby being more stronger contributors to their relationship with the male gender. Because very often they are unaware and they come out confrontational, and so I would suggest that. Secondly, the reason why the president has trouble with the name is from the inception, he refused to pronounce Mrs. Harris' name properly. Mrs. Harris was Kamala. And he refused. He called him once Kamala. So that's when he confused him from the start. Mrs. Harris said from the upfront, her name is Kamala. Kamala. Right? He insisted calling the woman Kam. He put the M with the A. Well, her name is Kamala. That was the reason why. He did it deliberately, as the doc said. There's something about the guy where he's so egotistical. He wants to own the world. Thanks for your time, anyhow.
Thanks so much for your call. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Hello, good morning.
Hello, morning, Tusco. What's up?
Good morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, I had a laugh at McGriffy Boy Fast Track this morning, and listening to the discussion, the toxic femininity, I'm glad that came up. You know, when I heard the rooster came up again, so hear me now. Gulp. Oh, here we go again. I consider that to be toxic femininity. I mean, when you hit a low blow to say that, oh, you know, it's a kind of competition, you know, like...
No, it wasn't, yes, it wasn't meant, it was not meant to be a competition comment. You hear what you saying? The doctor is shaking her head like you're just proving the point.
You all are not up to whatever, so you all are complaining. That is toxic femininity to me. Because, you know, if it, on a serious note, if they check out what dopamine is, right? They say too much of it will desensitize you, and you have to go further, And mind you, all the young people exist today, Gen Z, Gen X, because there was no rules in the past, if you understand what I'm trying to say now. So I am one that I support feminism to a degree where, all right, remember I told you once before, men are good, but women are powerful. You know, the divine feminine, you know, in terms of, I don't ever think they was unequal, even if they were in the home as homemakers. What my suggestion was that career development and being at home, because some of the best brought up children of the past in a certain demographic was the lady in the parlor with the children. Those are doctors and engineers and lawyers now at home, if you understand. So I never considered the role women was playing in the universe to be homemakers, to be unequal. So I just want to ask the lady, at what point did this shift take place, and why couldn't there have been an integration in career development while being a homemaker and still support that powerful role of a woman being in the home? Because most powerful families, a woman that's being in the home. I have more questions, you know, but I'll stay with that one and ask her to respond to that. Thank you very much, Tusker.
Thank you so much for your call. See what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so to answer that question directly, you know, we in the Caribbean have always been workers. We came here as workers. So the idea of women being in the home doing domestic labor only is really a mythology. Professor Rhoda Ruddock writes about it. There was this shift to housewifeization, which is really a global north kind of importation. Mm-hmm. We've always worked in the home and outside of the home because of who we were as, descendants of slave and indentured laborers and multiple indentures. Now, the idea of sharing labor pragmatically is a valid position. But we have to account for our social relations, where access to funds, access to goods and services and resources, for that arrangement to work, people have to fulfill all of their roles. Mm-hmm. If we want to maintain that, then bread needs to be won as bread needs to be won, and it needs to be reliable. It cannot be shared with multiple families and unreliable and stress and violence and all of the things that we know is a reality of our world. Mm-hmm. So women work not only for their own self-actualization and for their own possibilities, but they work in order to sustain their lives and the lives of their families, especially when that which we traditionally said should be depended on was not dependable. So, for example, I was raised in my own family where my elders, both male and female, said, you need to go out and get yours. Because if what you might depend on, it disappears as a woman, then you and all those who depend on you will suffer. So the shift came and the shift didn't actually come. we always labored. When we moved into women being in the household in these nuclear-style families, we incorporated a foreign concept. And then we had to shift away because of how we lived our lives. Because our family structures were put down by global north colonists saying, that's not a real family. Mm-hmm. We had extended families. That was the way that we lived. Mm-hmm. That was our reality, which we got from our homeland spaces.
You know, this is so true.
Yeah.
And it's only recently that I understood that, wait, extended families living like in the house and on a compound is a Caribbean.
It is a Caribbean reality.
Western Hemisphere thing, and they don't know what that is.
Yes, in Jamaica they call it yards. You live in yards. Yeah. For us, you live in almost like a street, in a mm-hmm. space. Mm-hmm. And all of us will support each other so that mm-hmm. we will engage in different degrees of productive and reproductive labor.
Yeah, in the North they tell you as soon as you get out, 18.
Exactly.
Go find your own.
You notice in the Caribbean, when you reach 18, where are you going?
What?
Still belong to this.
You're still a child with 17.
We live in kinship groups. That's our inheritance. Mm-hmm. So the idea of women staying in one place is not the norm. We then go to multiple spaces. So what we need to do is kind of revisit what we take for granted mm-hmm. and understand how men and women would perform complementary roles based on what was pragmatic for our traditions, our ways of being, and what was functional. Because sometimes you have somebody have the capacity to earn more. Mm-hmm. Get that person to earn more. Let's build the funds, right, mm-hmm. in this kin. And just to say, yes, it wasn't a competition. In fact, what we are promoting, before the rose, you had the rabbit. Before the rabbit, you had the buzz. Before that, for a long time, we had many things before I was born, right? I'm a millennial. So it's supposed to be, we have mutual pleasuring, which mm-hmm. I know on the air, some people are like, I cannot believe Dr. Barrett come up there with Tosca talking about mutual pleasuring. Mm. But that's where we move away from those taboos, where men and women, gender non-conforming people can really account for their lives in that way. Mm-hmm. And these toys help us along, right? Mm-hmm. But before I didn't even had toys, we had hands and toes and you know, everything else we could think about.
There's a book.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There's
that's
a
ancient.
Book.
Ancient
text.
Exactly.
Right? So, it's 2 minutes after 10 o'clock. Dr. Barrett, can you stay for 15 minutes again? Because
sure.
We've got phone calls coming in. Going to take a short break, and when we come back, we step into the second hour inside the Human Impact.
This is Freedom 106.5 FM. 106.5 FM. Your solution for current affairs and talk. Join the conversation today as we build a better nation. Insightful discussions and interviews on national progress, the latest developments in environmental, social, and governance, plus corporate social responsibility. Freedom 106.5 FM gives you a voice. Freedom to inspire. Freedom to change. Speak your mind with Freedom 106.5 FM. This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back, Trinidad and Tobago. So yes, it seems that this Monday morning, magic Monday morning, we have y'all spicy. And we're touching on conversations that has centered and been part of the International Women's Day conversation. And Dr. Barrett is here to talk to us and guide us through the conversation. It seemed like we had one caller that was, you know, reminiscing over the carnival conversation mm-hmm. of the rose and the idea of sexuality and exploring that. And just off the air, we were, you know, mentioning that this has such impact on how women talk about their sexuality, what they like, what they don't like. And then it also highlights from a very young age how even having a conversation about your body and the way it works was a taboo. And
yes.
That instantly made me think about periods, which was another thing that they talked about yesterday at the conference. Period poverty, mm-hmm. understanding the menstrual cycle, and not only understanding that the periods is the only thing we're going to experience in our life. We've got perimenopause to look forward to, and then menopause.
Yes.
So, fellas, only I know the half, but let's have a conversation this morning.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, I mean, these are things that so many times you don't come to understand it until you're much older in your process, mm-hmm. where you get more comfortable with yourself, and sometimes people never get comfortable with themselves. So they have things that are not normative and they never really seek help. Mm-hmm. Health, you know, go to a doctor.
Because they don't know it's not normal.
Because they don't know it's not normal. People suffering from polycystic ovarian syndrome, endometriosis, other things, they're having strange pain, but you don't talk to anybody. You keep it secret. You go to work, you're almost fainting. Because anything to do with your body parts, reproductive organs, is taboo. We can't talk about that. And so those kinds of things need to stop, because then people, sometimes people die. That's in the worst case scenario. But a lot of times people really find themselves with persistent chronic health conditions because it remains untreated, which ties into other chronic conditions which burdens our healthcare system, going back to the investment for everyone.
Yeah, money and all this kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So then in that, and then of course when we have a population that's beginning to, the pyramid is changing, it's aging. When people reach a certain age, because they didn't get the kind of health care, you know, they have issues with fertility and so much more, which is of course more complicated than that. But we're just at the elemental level. As we talk about these things, you know, you have people sometimes, the issue is may not be woman, it may be man, but it is taboo to talk about it. It's a confrontation of our masculinity and femininity, be it from pleasure to fertility to health to strength and all
finances.
Of those things. Finances. And, and then it starts to affect us psychologically, our psychosocial well-being, which we see then translated to the children who experience all forms of, you know, trauma. That then, so it's this rapid cycle that just keeps going on and on, which again, it's not easy to resolve, but we can start resolving it by having that conversation. As we say in our campaign that started so many years ago in the 1990s, break the silence. Break the silence around human sexuality, around workplace practices, around health and behavior, around mental health, around violence, around just living our lives in the world. Is it going to be easy? I'm not promising. It is going to be hard. Because it means, again, saying, as our caller was saying, and he was having a good laugh, but in all seriousness, it's not competition for us to say that women may have to seek their own interests. Because we construct, if we look at romance novels, romance movies, even pornography, we construct human sexual relations in very linear ways, singular ways. But that's not how humans experience it. And so to say that one can, in fact, do things that we do privately or secretly, we talk with our girlfriends, girl, try this, huh? It's time we stop doing that and realize, oh, there are different ways of actually encountering our bodies. And our bodies are not sinful, hateful places. Our bodies give us life and joy and well-being.
Let's take some calls. 625-2257, 627-3223. Of course, 306-1065 is our WhatsApp number. You can send your message there as well. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Doctor.
Good morning, Princess Stone.
Yes, and to your honored guests, and as usual, let me congratulate the station and the women's organizations, movement, and so on for their efforts in advocacy in International Women's Day. But I want to ask and add, you know, you talk about justice delayed is justice denied. But an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. And I want to ask, have you all factored in the plight of women with disabilities into this whole conversation? Imagine with the plethora of problems that women face now, and if you add disability to that, imagine what the sum total would be. And you know, for example, when we have these problems all over, we need to hear that collaborative and that kind of voice representing women, not only on International Women's Day, but this has to be all wrong. You know what I mean? You have to have
a continuous conversation.
Continuous, because sometimes, well, tomorrow, by tomorrow, we forget the conversation. And I am saying, and this does not augur well in terms of advocacy. You need to have a strategic and consistent plan all the while. And I want to ask one question to your guest. Does she believe that there are structural legislative barriers in terms of women pursuing their full potential and their rights, and et cetera, et cetera. And again, I would like to hear her comment on where do we factor in women with disabilities in this whole scenario. Thank you much, Princess Tom.
Thank you, Princess Tom.
Of course. I agree with him 100%. Women with disabilities must be included, which is why the theme is Rights, Justice, Action for All. Mm-hmm. And yes, in the popular discourse, we might forget about it after, let's say, 9-Day Wonder. But for the women's members of the women's movement, for us at the IGDS and so forth, this is a continuous commitment. Mm-hmm. We have groups within UWE, outside of UWE, who work to advocate for the concerns of women with disabilities, from access, from agility, labor, health, families, all of this. It is persistent. Of course, you don't see it every single day because we're not talking about it every single day, but the work continues. Do we have structural limitations and barriers? Yes, they persist. Mm-hmm. But as I said before, we've been working towards confronting, mitigating, dismantling some of these. It is not complete. These structural barriers are structures of our state. We live in a patriarchal state. And so complete erasure or changing is difficult because it means that we have to disrupt how we are all together. And you will see some societies that do that kind of disruption. They're a different type of society altogether. We're not quite there, but we do make an attempt to get closer and closer to it. But it's a work in progress. Just to give an example of some of the structural things, if we think about finance, we still have structures in place that rest in your position in a family and how you can access funds and investment for business and so forth, right? And it shouldn't be this way, but it is there. But our system is a bigger structure that we fall into around credit. We were talking at the very beginning how we then create these cycles of dependency because of profit. We work in capitalist systems, right? It's not social systems, right? Yeah. So they have particular structures along the way. And then, of course, we have, in terms of how we practice, he spoke about justice, how we give evidence, how we execute a case, how we proceed through that case. We have systems in place that are meant to be inclusive and propel justice, but they delay it. They slow it down for everybody. And we know that this is something that we continue to confront. And so, again, it is because to have those hard conversations about where we're making mistakes and where we have gaps and where we are reproducing dangerous norms, Those are work in progress.
Yeah.
But yes, women with disabilities are women who must be accounted for and who we continue to account for in Trinidad and Tobago and the globe.
Finally, let's address this issue of women who advocate for other women are male haters.
Man haters.
You don't like men. You want to take men out of the equation. What kind of response should we have for that?
Because I
know I love men.
Of course. You know what's sad is that I think earlier in our conversation I mentioned something called a just world belief, as well as a zero-sum beliefs. Zero-sum beliefs say, if one group gets, I lose. And so I must stop. It's like extreme competition. There's no understanding that everybody could kind of get a piece of the cake at the same time. So when women advocate for the interests of other women, it's taken very personally. There's a reason why that is taken so personally, because it disrupts power relations, because it holds up a mirror against what you're doing and it becomes hard to confront yourself. And because it also says that if you're advocating for them, then you're taking it away from me. And that's not true. It happens when we talk about race, when we talk about sexuality, when we talk about our countries, migration. All of these things rely on this kind of zero-sum beliefs. Now, on the face of it, in your gut, you might be like to say that is illogical. You need to sit down and be quiet and forget about it. But really and truly, we pause and we say, we have to appreciate that to seek the interest of those who do not enjoy the same level of privilege that we do is, in fact, to bring everybody, hopefully, closer to a sense of shared equity and equality.
Equal ground.
So that's why we have to advocate. Also, women advocating for women doesn't take away from advocacy for men. And it's not women's responsibility to advocate for everybody, including men.
Okay, you're still going to have us go to that function of caretaker.
Yes, for everybody, right?
Everybody.
Yeah. In fact, we have, I'm part of a global group called Men Engage. And from 2023 to present, the campaigns across the globe have been, how do we get men to stay in advocacy? Mm-hmm. So, and this is about advocating for healthy masculinities and sustainable masculinities. This is the global work. And so we might invite men, if like 500 of them agree, I'll come in, I'll come in. You see, the day when we're supposed to have the planning, you have 20.
Ghosts.
They are not there.
Caspers.
And but the only way that we can work together is for us to actually work, and we haven't figured out. So men can advocate for other men in healthy ways, but you have to confront those power structures that say only some men get to speak, only some men get to dominate, all can participate. So yeah, advocacy is not, there's no zero-sum beliefs. Let's put that aside and realize that the cake big enough. And you could do like granny in the day. If you didn't slice it in triangles, you could start to cut it up in squares.
In squares.
So everybody get a piece.
You know it well. You know it well.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Doctor, for coming in today and having
such
a wonderful conversation. And we must do it again soon.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.